Hey guys, please subscribe to Gunafanzine TV.
Good evening. How's your day been? Or should I say good evening? It's been a busy week for Arsenal. It's been a busy week for Gunafanzine TV as well. We had a bit of a road trip to Frankfurt, more of that later. But we're recording the day after Arsenal's 3-2 victory against Aston Villa. So we've got lots to talk about. We've got a really, really good panel as ever. So let's get cracking. Oh, 3-2, what was your take on it to start with?
What you expect from Arsenal, I guess. A stressful game. And luckily, we came out on top, I think. It's just weird how we can't seem to start games in the right kind of fashion and then just kind of find our way through games. But 3 points is 3 points, so I'm happy.
That's the thing, it's such a contradiction, isn't it? Because for me, the defensive performance just wasn't good enough, but we walked away with 3 points. I mean, I don't know what you thought about the defence, Glenn.
Pretty poor, as usual. I keep expressing my concerns about Maitland-Niles and his confidence playing in that position.
Yeah.
I think, again, I don't think he helped himself blasting that one into Rose Ed in the second minute. Then from there on in, he had a bit of a tough afternoon again, culminating in the red. I'm sure we'll discuss that later, the red card. Yeah. But you want to just talk about the defence or in front of the defence?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of it, basically.
For
I was just
me,
looking at your initial
thoughts yesterday were in the first half, and everyone was saying is the midfield was just getting wiped out. Villa seemed to be progressing from their box to our box in a blink.
Hmm.
We were invisible in midfield, absolutely invisible.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what our midfield is supposed to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a question itself, and we'll touch on that in a minute. But Serge, and your luxurious beard, what was your take on this day? In terms of the defence, I need to know.
We've been doing this for a few weeks now, and every time we seem to talk about how our defence is just non-existent. They don't seem to work together, they don't gel, and there doesn't seem to be any confidence in the players and themselves. A lot of the errors they made were simple errors that we shouldn't be making. After the Watford game, I thought maybe they would have come together a bit and worked it out, but no, they did not.
Yeah.
It was abysmal, really.
Yeah, absolutely. For anyone who's been watching over the last couple of weeks, we've got a regular panel of podcast guests, and I love them a bit. They're all fantastic. I hope you're getting to use them as well and enjoying them. We've got a new one tonight. We've got Frankie on tonight, who's another huge gooner as well. Welcome, Frankie.
Thanks for having me.
No, not at all. Thanks for being on. What was your take on yesterday, then?
I think we got away with one. We were probably all hoping for a reaction after Watford.
Yeah.
We didn't seem to get one, but I think we got a reaction from the red card. Yeah. After the red card, at least, we did look like they were fighting for the manager. And you know, at half-time, I think it was probably one of Emery's biggest team talks yet to give. And to be fair to him, the players kind of backed it up. And Aubameyang, as much as he's probably talked about a lot, probably still doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No.
Whatever way he can impact the game, he does. And he's winning games for us every week.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, is it 48 goals in 73 games or something?
Yeah. If he wasn't there this season, we could be languishing very close to the bottom.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's a bit worrying,
I keep saying, we're really running low on our supply of get-out-of-jail-free cards already in September.
Yeah.
And Aubameyang's essentially been that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's done the business so many times.
You look at Man United, they've probably not got a number nine.
No.
That's probably what we'd be if we didn't have Aubameyang.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Absolutely, good point. I need to talk about defence in a lot more depth because I was tearing what hair I've got out. Me and Toby sat in the game. me and Toby sat together. We're still talking after 6 days in a car going to Frankfurt. That's still a story. And I was just so frustrated. Toby was as well. We just can't defend. I put a tweet out basically saying after we conceded the first goal, after McGinn scored, saying, you know, we've changed the manager, we've changed the coaching personnel, we've changed the playing personnel, we've changed the tactics. Why can't we defend? What's the issue? I mean, what's your take on that?
I don't know. It's really strange. I mean, I watched the game back earlier today, and
what we like to see Gunafanzine guests absolutely doing their research. Take note, Glenn.
But yeah, like for the John McGinn's goal, I mean, at first there's no pressure on the cross, and then with that, the defenders that were in the box actually pushed up rather than kind of sitting off, which just allowed McGinn to run in behind them without anyone tracking the run.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, if they can't see that on kind of an analysis day, I guess, where Unai runs through the game and then,
just what you're saying about tracking, I think it was Socrates, Luiz, and possibly Guendouzi. Mm. They just seemed to be ghosting around. Yeah. There was nothing going on. Yeah. So one of them was sort of leaving it for the other to sort of track back, and that it was such a soft goal.
Yeah. Both were. I mean, we've all played football. I mean, admittedly, at very, very bad levels and bad performances, certainly for me. But you know, surely at the most basic, you have to keep your shape, you keep your positioning, you know where your man is, your mark. Revolutionary, maybe, but you have to mark, surely. I mean, is that so passé these days? You're not allowed to mark anymore. What's the issue? I mean, what is it? The players? Is it the manager? I mean,
it's difficult to just stick a finger on it, I guess. But I think it's just we're too passive when we're off the ball.
Yeah.
Like,
but why?
Wherever that comes from, if it's Emery or I can't personally put a finger on one specific thing.
So, what do you reckon, Glenn?
Well, you keep reading things that they're working on their discipline and they're working on being tighter and that. You know, Luiz hasn't been there that long, I suppose. So, you know, from that point of view, that may be a slight argument in their, defence. But I really don't know. I don't know whether they're not getting enough protection in front of them. It's just baffling, but it's like I say, it's game after game. Burnley at home, gift. Yeah. You know, the Spurs goals, gifts.
Yeah.
Watford away, gifts. Yeah. Yesterday, you know, we made Villa look like Barcelona.
Yeah. They were very functional, very workmanlike. They did what they had to do. They were set up well, but they were there for the taking.
A couple of good players. I've got to say, McGinn and Grealish both impressed me yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know, we know they're the danger men, and we just let them. I mean, the second goal, Grealish ran 40 yards.
Yeah.
Unchallenged.
Yeah, I mean, Wesley just got ahead of Luiz, didn't he, for that second? Villa signing from Club Bruges, and he looks okay, decent player in terms of sort of a middling Premiership side, Premier League side. But why has he got in front of Luiz? What's the issue there? It's like he switches off. I've said it before. Luiz is one of those players who's so technically gifted. It's almost like the game of football comes too easy to him, so he doesn't feel like he has to concentrate. Yeah. I don't know. That was just poor organisation. And if that was, and I think we'd all agree it was, whose fault is that? Is that the manager's fault? Is it the player's fault? I mean, what do you think, Serge?
Well, I don't think you can blame the manager for the player's performance. He's playing the best defenders we've got, which says a lot about our defensive lineup. And if they're not switching on and not doing it right, you know, there's a limit to what tactics work in a game. If you're not marking your player and you're not keeping your surroundings open to yourself, you can't make any realistic complaints about the manager's training.
Yeah.
I mean, we're obviously waiting for the holy grail of Tierney and Holding and everyone to come back. But, and Bellerin's got back. But realistically, he's got the best players we currently have. What's he
going to
do?
I observed Emery a lot last season in terms of watching him at London Colney for opening training sessions, and he's always had his clipboard. He's got Carcedo next to him, you know, various other players, former coaches as well. He's an organiser, so why can't he organise? I really don't think it's a lack of effort, a lack of work rate, because he does do a lot of work there, basically. So what's the issue? I just don't understand. I mean, what do you think, mate?
I think they look a bit overcoached. If anything, Emery's probably got an idea. He seems like, this is anecdotal, but he seems like the sort of guy who's planned out exactly what they're going to do, and he's like, I'm going to do this. The players probably get on there like, wait, what did he say we have to do? But I agree with what you're saying though. Like, everyone seems to be talking as if Rob Holding's the answer, and I'm a big Rob Holding fan, as I'm sure you are, but he's not the player we need him to be yet. He's not just going to come back and solve the defence. Whether him, Tierney and Bellerin will, maybe. I also think Torreira needs to play in front of the defence, not Xhaka, really.
Yeah.
Our best football last year was when it was Torreira and Xhaka. Torreira just seems to be being played. He doesn't seem to be in favour at all at the moment.
That's a really good point. I don't know whether it's a sort of just a knock-on from him being in the Copa America. I'm not sure. Yeah. But I hope it isn't, because if it isn't, There's an underlying issue there with Emery not rating him, which is really worrying.
He did well when he came on yesterday.
I thought he did as well, yeah, absolutely. But it's just a bit worrying. So just one more point about defence as well. I'm not sure we can touch on more as well. But Maitland-Niles, I was at Leicester last season, and he got sent off in the 35th minute
for
picking up the yellow early on, and then
yeah.
I can't remember if it was a yellow or straight red, the second sort of caution. But he's done it again. And if you look at him, it's purely in terms of games, how many is that? Leicester, what do we have at the end of the season? Brighton, Burnley. So three games, what are we on at the moment? Four or five. So he's been sent off twice in the first half in seven games, basically. I mean, I love Maitland Niles. I want him to progress. He's a local lad. He's an Arsenal lad. You know, I don't think he's been particularly been given any favours playing at right back. I see him more as a sort of right midfielder. But at the same time, that's not good enough, surely. And that's a lack of discipline. And if that's a lack of discipline, where's it coming from? Because he's obviously been schooled in the Arsenal way. He doesn't do that on purpose. But is it Emery's fault? Is it Maitland Niles' fault? Is he just really unlucky? What do you reckon on?
I think it's more on the side of he gets a bit unlucky at times. Like yesterday, he was kind of on his own at times on that wing. The first yellow card was stupid. I don't get why you'd kind of stick your leg out in that situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But the second one, the ball's there to be won, and he's just gone in a bit too hard, I think.
Yeah.
And
you think he's been sort of hung out to dry in terms of his sort of teammates not.
A little bit, I think. If he had, I think if he just had a bit more support around him,
he
wouldn't have to make rash decisions.
So what we say, lack of support equals lack of organisation, or put you on the spot there, haven't I? We don't want to slag him off. I'm just really, really frustrated, and I'm just trying to really want to understand why we can't defend and why we're making silly errors and why we're getting sent off as well in the first half.
Yeah. Lack of organisation, maybe. it's just one of those ones, I think, that he's not right back.
No.
And he's publicly spoken about kind of that not being his preferred position, but he'll do it as long as he's asked to, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, Glenn's been talking most for a while. He does need a bit of a break, I think.
And
he will have one now if it's a three-match ban. I've not looked into it. But Callum Chambers, who obviously came on at half-time and took his goal really well. What's your take on Callum Chambers potentially playing at right-back?
Well, like you say, I've been discussing mentioning the Maitland-Niles position. I think Maitland-Niles panics a bit. I think teams may be starting to target him slightly because they know that.
Yeah, Delafeo last week cut in.
That was the whole game plan, wasn't it, going down that side. So I just suggested, you know, give Chambers a try out. I thought Chambers had a decent game in Frankfurt.
Mm, yeah.
And he was good when he came on yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe, whether Maitland-Niles is suspended, injured or whatever, Chambers has just got to step into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And great persistence for the goal.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, he did well, didn't he? Second
nice little finish.
Yeah, it was.
I was speaking in the, went for a drink after and bumped into a Fulham fan, and he was saying that, I don't know if he got voted their player of the season.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, in a poor
but
team.
He said, everyone spoke very, very hard of him. Yeah. He had a very good season. I know the team went down, but
he can still shine, you're absolutely
right, even in the poor team. So, yeah, I'm all for giving him a go. I know he had a very torrid time in that Swansea game a few years back.
Yeah, do you remember that? Yeah.
But, you know, he's had a couple of sort of like loan spells. I think maybe he might be ready to step in, certainly, you know, just to hold the fort.
Yeah, until Bellerin back. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we've talked about defence. I'm just a bit fed up with him, really. Well, give us a line on the defence, one last line. Because I'm still hurting. I think we all are, aren't we? Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's always shocking to see what our defence has now become from the heights it used to be to now it's almost sort of like just flipping a coin. Is it going to work or not?
Yeah.
We really do need to see what happens with Tierney in the team, with Bellerin back, with Holding and Chambers. I mean, Chambers started the first game against Newcastle, great. Didn't play for several games, came in at Frankfurt, played well.
Yeah.
Came on yesterday, played well. So he seems to be fighting for his position, so I think he needs to start more often and see how that works.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, watching Arsenal in the 80s along with Glenn and a few other mates, the Graham era certainly, they were drilled. They were drilled to an inch of their life.
Mm.
It wasn't particularly attractive football, but they knew where they were in terms of their positioning. They knew what channels to run into, where to go, which player was taking up which. Do they need to do second training sessions a day at Colney? Do they need to work harder? I hope it isn't a question of working harder, but why can't they just drill them? It's so... That's right. I mean, what's your take, Frankie?
Well, so much of the modern game now is they're probably focused on playing out of defence, although it doesn't look like we can do that.
No,
But yeah, it's a tough one. Chambers, whilst he did look okay when we were chasing a game, like, I just got flashbacks of Montero running past him.
Exactly.
I don't think anything made on ours is, like, it wasn't a red card. It wasn't a yellow card. He got the ball.
Okay.
He's pretty unlucky there. Yeah. I think he's actually done pretty well for us. I agree, though, he needs a rest. Like, Bellerin coming back is going to be the best thing for him.
Yeah.
But he, I think if you look at your squad and Anthony Maitland-Niles is your backup right back and maybe a sort of fifth choice centre midfielder or right midfielder, you're not doing too bad.
Yeah.
He's got a problem in if he wants if he doesn't want to make that right back position his own, because Joe Willock looks better than him.
Yeah.
Look at Trent Alexander-Arnold. He said, "I'm not a right back."
Yeah.
But I'm going to make this my own. So yeah. I think
he's
the benchmark.
Really, what?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we were sort of an interesting point Art raised earlier, just off camera, about Reece Nelson potentially being a sort of replacement or a wing back replacement if Emery goes with it. Because he did that a couple. Did he do that last season? I can't remember.
Not last season, but 17-18 season. Yeah. So Wenger's last season in the Europa League, he played him at right wing back a few times.
Yeah, so that's another option, though, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's not going to be his like first choice position, but he has put in a shift there before. So, if Emery was to go to like a three at the back for a while, maybe play Chambers on the right side of the three, and then put Reece as a wing back, that could work, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know if he'd do that
long term,
but it might be a quick fix that works.
To sort of holding pattern until Holly comes back.
Socrates.
Yes, go on. Give us a little. Give us your view on Socrates.
We haven't mentioned him yet. No. I don't think he's covering himself in too much glory.
No. What piqued you yesterday then about Socrates?
Well, when I thought he'd handballed it at the end. Well, he did handball it, didn't he? Yeah. You know, that was probably a penalty. You know, I just wish you focus on his game. We were chasing the game. I think we were still chasing the game. But he went down in front of their number nine, and he more or less put his head between his legs, and sort of like made some action that he'd been cuffed in the face.
Yeah,
their number nine was just standing there, going to the linesman, "What's going on here?"
Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing.
So I didn't like that.
Fair point. Right, okay, midfield. Where do we start? I just want to talk about Ozil being on the bench. After I know he's rested in Frankfurt, didn't make the trip, but I don't know. I mean, we're talking second week of September, and you're resting your star midfielder allegedly. There is a lot of issues in terms of Ozil going back to Germany. We know the sort of backstory in terms of the sort of anti-Ozil sentiment. We're not going to go into too much detail now, but Ozil's not particularly popular among certain sections of German society and certainly German football fans. But for me, if I was Ozil, I would be wanting to go, right, do you know what? I'm going to show these so-and-sos. I want to play. I want my manager to take me on the plane to Frankfurt to play so I can show him, so I can show a bit of character, so I can prove people wrong, basically. Obviously, it wasn't the case, and you can argue Emery was right in terms of resting him. Okay, great. So why is he on the bench on Sunday? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I actually didn't mind him not playing on Thursday.
Well, a few minutes.
I don't understand what reason there is for him not even coming off the bench yesterday.
What does that say about Emery's perception of Ozil more than Ozil himself, to be fair?
It's just another one of those things at the moment at Arsenal that's just strange, and you can't really find words to describe it logically.
It sounds like Arsenal full stop at the moment, doesn't it?
Like,
certainly a lot of them.
Ozil's historically done well against Aston Villa as well. He's got like six goals or assists four games against Aston Villa.
Shove him on the bench.
We won't play him.
So
I just don't understand why in a game where we know they're probably just going to camp out for a bit as well, and you need someone that's going to just have a bit of spark to their play, I don't get why he doesn't come on for a minute.
Yeah,
at least.
Absolutely. I'm not a big fan of sort of asking everyone their own individual question about the same topic, but I'm genuinely interested in those, and we'll hopefully get all three of the rest of you to touch on it. But I mean, the way the system worked, I looked at it as a 4-2-3-1 system yesterday, certainly before, or certainly up until half time. So if you've got those defensive twos, why? I mean, who's impressed you? Guendouzi? Guendouzi played well second half, didn't he? But
yeah, I think Guendouzi must have been drinking rocket fuel at half time. He just changed his game incredibly.
Yeah.
I think he did the same. He had probably a slightly more effective first half against Spurs and then really grew into that game.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I thought he had a poor first half and he just seemed to come alive. Another one of these people that seems to hate losing. And, he gets a bit too fired up and sort of like brandishing the imaginary cards.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
The thing that really annoyed me.
But no, the second half he was superb. But I just think that three, Ceballos had a quiet game. He's another sort of one-on game player.
Yeah.
You know, 1 week will turn in a great performance. I think we're just consistently inconsistent, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, we can sort of just get a unit knowing what we want in that midfield and get a few games where they can all play together, we might be better off. And yeah, I mean, you know, do you want me to talk about Xhaka?
Go on then, go on. I think you should jump in a bit to do so.
Just so in effect, I got so fed up where he was squandering chances to break. He couldn't get the ball under control. I've said this before, he's a master that under hitting a pass, rather into someone's running space, he will put it just behind him or just level with him, so they have to check.
Yeah.
He just breaks, you know, he's supposed to break down attacks, but he breaks our own attacks.
What was your take on his, I called it a lack of technique, when he had a really heavy touch?
He fumbled around his leg a couple of times, didn't it?
That was really disappointing.
It's just what he does. And I mean, again, I think his confidence is getting drained. You could hear, I know you were there, but, you know, he got booed when he was substituted. Yeah. There was ironic cheers and booing.
Yeah.
And we looked so much more effective when Guendouzi upped his game and Torreira and Willock came.
Yeah. So in terms of defensive two, you would say Torreira and Guendouzi.
Yeah, definitely all day long.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now he's captain, now, isn't
he? Yeah, I know. But isn't Emery going to announce five captains at some stage this year? I don't know. He's been talking about it for 18 months. It is nonsense, as far as I'm concerned. Serge, what was your take on the midfield?
The midfield's a tricky one because we've got excellent players in the midfield, but they don't seem to gel with each other at all at the moment. Xhaka looked out of pace, he looked uncomfortable, and when he came off, the dynamic of the game changed significantly. I mean, the issue I saw with Xhaka yesterday was Guendouzi in the second half was fired up, Xhaka wasn't.
Mm.
And, you know, Xhaka's supposed to be the 26-year-old experienced martial art, you know.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
Guendouzi is the one pushing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is. Why is he not doing that? So I think maybe, like you said, give him a rest, try something else out. But Ozil, I mean, we say it every week. What the hell's going on with him? It's just boring now.
Yeah. It is boring.
It's just every week. You can just rewatch last week's video to see us talking about the exact same problem.
But do you think that the fault's with Ozil, Emery, or is it just really unfortunate?
Emery don't want him, does he?
No, not at all, as far as I can see.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. But shouldn't Ozil be stepping up and going, do you know what? I'm going to really give you a selection dilemma.
Yeah, you can't step up if you don't get
picked. But in training, maybe, I mean, I've watched him train and he is very languid, so it's hard to tell whether he's trying his best or just to sleep, basically. But at the same time, yeah, he's a very, very talented
player. That's his style, isn't it? He's a very subtle, sort of sleek player that he's not your sort of standard shouting, screaming,
but showing. Wouldn't you think in your head, if it hadn't worked so far, just start shouting?
Yeah, but
give yourself another 10% and track him back, or. That's not him, but you're saying he's happy in his comfort zone. I don't know.
You say it, but he was one of our best players against Watford.
Yes, I know. You've had that chance. I still didn't think you played that well, but no, I got points for that. So.
No, that was his first game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was his first game. And okay, we didn't. Farry's no one half. Was great, but he was one of the better players. So
he's more or less had one half of football.
Just
start him against Villa. Give him more time. Give him more games.
Well, I fully expected him to start this
thing. Yeah, I know. I did as well. But
should have done. Him and Ceballos should have started together.
Yeah, exactly.
They looked well together when they played last.
Let's talk about a positive note. So, obviously, Pepe got his first goal for Arsenal. How did you feel about that, Fred?
I thought it was very mature from Aubameyang.
Yes.
Very good point. I remember when we signed him, the talk was he's quite unpredictable. He's not the nicest guy in the changing room. But he's become this all-absorbing leader for Arsenal.
Yeah.
And in an era when you've got Harry Kane swearing over his daughter's life to get a goal, you've got Mo Salah and Sadio Mane falling out over the Golden Boot. Aubameyang's won the Golden Boot and he's still giving away goals.
I love that, really good point.
But it's great to see Pepe score. I think he's coming for quite a bit of stick and he's actually played all right. Is he in the system to flourish best at the moment? I think he played a striker the other day, not obviously not yesterday, but that way he plays. Like, I just think he just needs a run in the game. He's not up to full fitness. But great to see it. As fans, we're always like, that new signing, you just want him to get that first goal. To get it off his back. He's got it now. I thought he was going to get it at Frankfurt. Really happy with him. And if now with, I think, you know, obviously Lacazette and Aubameyang and Pepe, we had that chat about, are they the three? But actually having Aubameyang up top, Pepe on the right, maybe someone like Saka, maybe a bit more balanced and kind of provide us with more structure.
Yeah, very, very good point. I love that. And I love the fact you sort of highlighted Ober's unselfishness, which was great.
What about if he'd have missed?
Say again?
What about if he'd have missed?
We're not giving penalties. Well,
there's a lot of people around me grumbling, going, he's not a penalty taker.
But what people don't realise, he is a penalty taker, because he did that.
Lille.
Yeah, absolutely.
But had he missed, would have had another... was it Rashford and Pogba? That went on for weeks, didn't it? Talking about that.
I think you're right, but I don't think anyone could.
No, it's great he scored. Good of Aubameyang.
Yeah, exactly. I think if he had missed, I don't think Aubameyang would have come in for too much criticism. Hopefully not. Anyway, maybe on social media, but in real life, I think it was a really, really strong.
Magnanimous gesture.
He did that for Lacazette as well. A couple of seasons ago.
It was great to see. It was just really, there was an eruption of joy, wasn't there? Obviously because the goal went in, but it was just like, one of our own scored their first goal for the new club sort of things. I really enjoyed that. Touched on Saka there. I thought he was obviously really, really unfortunate to be subbed at half time because of obviously descending off and everything. But we're not going to talk about Frankfurt too much now, but he did really well in Frankfurt. He looked lively in the first half as well.
I thought he was our brightest player in the first half.
I did. Someone actually highlighted a tweet I did last season. I mean, I'm blowing my own trumpet again. I better stop this, actually. But I just said I've watched a lot of football at all levels at Arsenal, and Saka was my young player of the year for Arsenal. You know, and he was still sort of under 18s, under 21s with a Chequered trade, under 23s, you know, sort of Lindbergh side last year. And he really impressed me. And he's really come on, hasn't he? Yeah. That goal against Frankfurt was superb. I mean, we've got to build it. And he basically, they're singing his praises if Google Translate's right. they're probably slagging him up. No, but he was superb and he was really unlucky. And what's your take on Saka?
I think the main thing with him is he's a really fast learner. Like, for those of you that don't know, me and Leif met at a Chequered Trade Trophy match last year. And so 1 week he played against Cheltenham Town and they lost 6-2.
6-2, wasn't it?
And then the week after they came back and won 3-1 against Forest Green. And after the game, Lundberg said, like, the week before at Cheltenham, he was kind of just expecting fouls when players might give him a shoulder, and then the week after he actually grew from that and actually took players on and was more confident. And I think that's something we're seeing now in the first team. Like at Frankfurt, he was active in the first half, but he wasn't really executing his passes that greatly. And then he grew into the game much more in the second half and grew with confidence and got that goal. So I think the one thing is he's a really fast learner, and that's something that we should be really happy with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a really good point because, you talk about 6-2. That Arsenal didn't play particularly well that day. Freddie was really honest. I know Arsenal went down 10 men, but Saka was getting pushed off the ball. His movement in the box wasn't as good as it should have been, basically, in terms of peeling off your marker and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And like you say, Lundberg, and he told us that as well. Freddie did say that to us, didn't he? He goes, well, I'm going to have a word with him. We're going to sort of, you know, give him a bit more sort of technique and information. Literally 2 weeks later, Saka was the best player in the park for that Forest Green. And literally 6 weeks after that, as a raw 17-year-old, allegedly, he's made his first team debut for Arsenal in that 4-1 victory against Fulham on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, he's a young 18-year-old. He's got the world at his feet, basically. I mean, I need to hear everyone's views on Saka because I absolutely love him. I love him.
Yeah, I don't know too much about, you know, the youth team and stuff. You've experienced more of that. But I thought he looked great in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Fantastic goal. He looks like he's ready to operate at this level.
Yeah.
He looks assured and comfortable on the ball, I think. Yeah. And like I say, you'd have thought he wasn't the youngster sort of like getting one of his first outings yesterday. He was our brightest spark in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shame he had, you know, typical sort of a Ford has to go off to replace a defender. You know?
No, such a shame, really. Yeah.
But, yeah.
What do you reckon, Serge?
Well, he's doing exactly what Ozil should be doing, which is showing passion and a bit of guilt because he's trying to get into that first team and push for it.
What else is Ozil for?
So Ozil should be learning from Saka, basically.
Yeah. Run out of beer,
as you said, look, he's an 18-year-old and he's pushing for first team placement and he's pushing pretty well.
Yeah.
He looks confident, he looks sharp, he looks clever.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he can get into that first team.
Absolutely.
On a frequent basis.
Absolutely. I mean, I, to be fair to Emery as well, he's not afraid to put sort of youngsters in and then blood them.
Mm.
I mean, we're going to sort of talk about Emery now, and we've got a lot to talk about, really.
He did replicate that Maitland Niles miss, didn't he? Didn't Saka play
Yeah. He's learning.
Yeah.
We'll give him that. But,
fair enough.
What was your take on Emery so far? Let's start with that.
Or was that this season or for?
Just since he's been here, basically, and then we'll touch on this season.
I think there's been some highlights. Tottenham at home last year.
4-2, yeah.
4-2.
Yeah.
And obviously, parts of that Europa League run, Napoli away, was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
But overall, I don't know. I think it doesn't look like we've improved or how we've... There's no structure to our play.
Yeah.
I don't... If you told me, I know what he's trying to get to, don't know where it is, because we don't press high all the time, we don't play out from the back all the time, but what is it that he's trying to do?
Yeah.
I think even if results weren't what they were, and there was something to buy into, you know, when Klopp took over Liverpool, they actually struggled quite a lot in the first season.
Yeah.
But you could see what Klopp was doing. You know, I think they went to Norwich and won 5-4.
Yeah.
And I think when Emery came in, he said, we want to be the protagonists, and that's the line that's probably going to kill him one day. But it looks like we want to be anything but that. It looks like we're scared of literally anyone we want to play. And that's probably my only real criticism is we just look scared of everyone. Like, if it's Watford away, we're like, well, Watford are great. Well, no, we're great.
Yeah.
And, you know, we probably had too much of that with Wenger. You know, Wenger didn't look at the opposition at all.
Yeah.
I think Emery's probably somewhere too far the other way.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. They use the word scared, and that's what the captain of Arsenal said last week, wasn't
one
he? Granit Xhaka. One of them, yeah. One of the five of you, absolutely. I'm reading that and just thinking, the captain of Arsenal Football Club is saying they're scared playing the bottom side of the Premier League. I mean, it wouldn't matter if they're playing the top side of Premier League. An Arsenal team should never be scared of anyone, basically.
Watford probably noticed that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They're bottom and they think Arsenal coming into town.
Yeah.
Fancy that.
Yes.
Yeah. Not how it should be at all.
I know, absolutely. And ironically, they pressed us far more than we ever pressed them as well, which is quite worrying. And again, on Sunday, you're absolutely right. I mean, all you want to see from a manager or a player or a team is progress. No one's saying we should be winning the Champions League or even challenging for the league at the moment, because Liverpool and Man City are so far ahead of us. But at the same time, you want to see, like you say, a coherent plan. You want to see a strategy that shows that Emery knows what he's doing. And it's not, I don't think there's anything wrong with potentially tinkering with tactics now and then, formations. But, who was it who said the stat about he's basically played the same side twice?
But
when was that? Last September?
So he's basically changed formations and lineups pretty much every single game. He hasn't played, I think he played twice in a row a year ago, which is...
Wow.
Obviously, back to your point, he doesn't really know his perfect formation or tactics.
Yeah.
However, I don't think we can sort of look too badly at what he's achieved. I think, you know, getting to the Europa League final is good.
Yeah.
I think the recruitment we've had has been good. I think it's going to take time for the team to gel, but I just don't want to fall into the trap United have fallen into, which is change the manager if it doesn't go their way. Because now they look like an absolute lackluster team. And I think we've shown a little bit of shine and promise, so we need to...
Yes. I was going to say, it's hugely satisfying.
But we don't want to fall into that. We've got to just, you know, give him his full sort of three term and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Gunafans in TV is still massively behind Unai Emery, basically. But at the same time, I think we've got a right to question what he does, basically, and what he's failing to do as well.
The quality in the league this season and the quality of our squad, we have to be finishing in the top four.
Yeah.
And I think if we don't do that, it feels quite... You know, like there's a clear line. If we don't get in the top four, I think he's got a real struggle in keeping his job.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
But I agree with what you're saying. Like, we shouldn't fall into a trap. But if the first hire we've made is wrong, we shouldn't just be in it because we're in it. You know, if we've got the right man, if we've got the wrong man, keeping him because we want to keep him, I don't think it's right.
That's fair.
Like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they probably want to keep him now, but he's not the right man, and they're going to keep him, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost like they've cornered themselves into an issue there, haven't they, really? What do you reckon, Blake?
I'll say now, there was a lot of grumblings of discontent in the stadium yesterday. Okay. Yeah.
It was right now.
I said last week after the Watford game when we did the podcast, I think alarm bells are beginning to ring. We all agreed, you know, we don't want to get rid of him, but we want to start seeing some evidence of, you know, what he's actually trying to structure and head towards.
Yeah.
And at the moment, like I said last week, it seems to me he's making it up as he goes along on a weekly basis.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? It really does.
Yesterday, let's make no bones about it. I mean, everyone was very happy in the pub after, but it's essentially that papered over the cracks.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of poor displays.
Yeah.
And, you know, sleepwalking performances in the first half.
Yeah. I mean, what would Emery have to do to convince you that he is the right man for the job?
I would just like to see us come out, start energetically.
Okay.
Start on the front foot.
Yeah.
Get a couple of goals out and close the game out.
Yeah.
I'm fed up with going buying a ticket to a roller coaster ride.
You're not going to want to like George Graham, wouldn't you? You know. So basically, I mean, you just don't like entertainment.
You know, if someone said, "Oh, it's a bonkers game," and I said, "Well, was it? We sort of see that every other week."
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's going to run out soon. When we come up against the big side, they are going to put us away big
time.
It's
slightly worrying, isn't it? I mean,
That's pretty much it. But you know, I think had we lost that game yesterday, the knives would have been sharpened.
Yeah, we
might have started losing one or two more games, and then you know the ball. It won't take long for this ball because you know it's a sort of clean bill of health.
Yeah,
and if they can see that we're not making progress by Christmas and we're out of the running, well, like you said, you know, there's not going to be a lot of point in keeping him. They're going to start thinking, well, who are we going to get in next to sort of build and sort of like put something together?
Yeah. I've got to ask, I did a tweet at half-time. I said, you know, there's a smattering of boos in the Emirates. Is it for the team or is it for Emery? And most of the people, you know, sort of quite rational and said, yes, it's the team and it's Emery and it's the officials, to be fair.
Bit of John Moss as well, I think.
Yeah, a bit of John Moss, absolutely. But someone said, someone says, oh, stop picking on Emery. Have you got an agenda? Like, we don't have an agenda. I just wondered what the booing was about. I mean, what was your take on the booing? I've got to ask. Like,
booing?
Who was it aimed at, do you think?
I think it was obviously frustration. Like you say, the officials, you know, the whole sending off wound everyone up.
Yeah.
The time it took, you know, John Moss walking around with a yellow card.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Wondering if he'd actually witnessed it or if VAR was sort of pumping something. I don't know. I do. I think the fans are getting cheesed off seeing, like I say, these slow starts in the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's Villa. It's a team that were promoted. They got a couple of good players. Last week it was Watford, team bottom of the league, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, didn't go on a scintillating run after they got that draw against us, did they?
What was that, 8-0? 14-0 in aggregate last two games.
But no, I think it was sort of like collective frustration. But it would have been a bit of Emery and the team.
Yeah, and if, like say, if we'd lost 2-1, then at the end it would have been
very poor performance in the first half.
Yeah. Well, just briefly, what do you reckon, then? What's your take on Emery? Put you on the spot again.
I want to support him.
Yeah.
It's just, like Frankie said, he's very cautious. He doesn't really get Arsenal to impose themselves on other teams. It's quite reactionary. We kind of plan for our counter-attack, I guess. We're very good at countering teams with Aubameyang, with Pepe, and Saka as well now.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
We're not really good at when we have the ball for a long period of time and trying to break teams down. And the onus is on us to kind of attack the game. We're not great at that.
Yeah.
I think if that was something we were better at, then I'd probably have a bit more positive things to say about him at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just thinking about an anecdote that I've sort of had from Emery, I probably did about 95% of his press conferences last season, home and away at London Colney, all across Europe and stuff. And the only time I ever saw him animated in a post-match press conference, or a pre-match press conference, sorry, I should say, was at London Colney. And he started talking about orange juice. So, literally.
The band?
I'm not sure he's familiar with
that.
I'll
get on with him, well.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was a sort of general question. It was one of the last questions in a particular press conference. It was coming near Christmas. It was a sort of meaningless Europa League
game. Was it about the ban?
or the ban on orange juice? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. And talking to health and fitness and sort of, you know, physiology of players and stuff. And he was basically talking, and his body language, as soon as he started talking about orange juice, he was literally animated. And he was talking about his father sort of giving orange juice as a kid in Spain. And I was loving it. I was like, yeah, all he needed was a white suit, you know, like the same man as Del Monte. But it was great to see, and I just want to see more of that. So I don't know what his half-time team talks are like, but if it was an animated Unai Emery, it'd be great. And the other time, before I forget, the only other time I saw him animated was talking about Peaky Blinders. Somebody, there was a throwaway question right at the end of another press conference, and they said, you know, he was talking about his sort of, you know, improving his English and the rest of it. And they said, which English shows do you like? And he just goes, Peaky Blinders. I was actually saying that, so I was going, did he just say Peaky Blinders? I have no idea. But,
actually, that's another thing that I really like about him, is that he's taken speaking English on board. And he did that from his first press conference. I think the fact that he was willing to do that and not just kind of take the easy option of having like a translator or something.
Yeah.
That is something that shows that he has taken this job seriously.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't just something that he thought, oh, it's Arsenal, so let's have a go.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying, but I've got this thing, I don't know, I haven't seen him in the press conferences. And I think you're absolutely right. When you start, you've got to... I was there the day he was unveiled in the Emirates, and Gazidis was there and all the rest of it, and managed to be sort of... got in the Diamond Club and with a lot of other... with a lot of heavyweights, basically, and me there as well. And Emery had Dan, who was an excellent translator, basically. He's a really, really good guy. I'm sure he's doing, I don't know if he's doing freelance stuff now at the moment, but he's a really, really good guy, really translates in. Emery was trying to speak in English, basically. My thing was, you're really trying. I know you've had lots of hours of English sort of tuition and the rest of it. And I'd never slag anyone for not being able to speak another language, because I can't, basically. So, you know, that's all well and good. And you've made a point saying, right, I'm trying to learn the language of this country, the country I'm working in. But my thing would be, well, why not just get a translator to translate what he's saying? So Emery comes across as really articulate, basically, in admittedly Spanish, but it's translated to English.
Mm.
And he comes across really articulate. Everything that he says is then basically transferred into his copy, so stories, you know, maybe even TV and stuff like that. So then you remove the issue of language. Obviously, at half-time, you know, maybe you lose a bit of passion and stuff if you do have a translator with you. But my thing was, why not get an excellent translator just to translate what you're saying? I know it probably looks worse, but... Mm. You know, Pochettino did that for a while, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he could speak English, so,
yeah.
You know. But you're absolutely right. I think Emery deserves respect for fronting up and going, do you know what, I'm going to speak in English, basically. But if you're not communicating as well as you should do, because he's an intelligent guy, he's a really dignified guy, I've got a lot of time for him, he's a lovely, lovely bloke, but it's just like, he just can't get his natural sort of Spanish intelligence over in terms of... Maybe it's vocabulary in the way he sets up conversation.
I just want to see him next home game on the touchline with a baggy cap with a razor blade in it.
Peaky Blinders, yeah. I absolutely love Peaky Blinders, by the way. That's a different story. Okay, right. We've talked about Villa. I think we've purged ourselves slightly on that. Which is,
we won.
We won, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. That's the bottom line. We won. We got 3 points. Let's just move on.
Everyone else lost
us. Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. So, onwards and upwards for the Arsenal. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. How satisfying was that, losing a Leicester team?
Very,
Got to go back to Frankfurt. I don't know if you're following us on social media. If you're not, you should do. Guna Fanzine, obviously Leafy 29. We've got Toby, our very excellent production guru over there as well. To cut a long story short, we drove to Frankfurt on Tuesday night. Me, Glenn, Grumpy Glenn, and Toby. And we're not going to bore you with it now. Toby's got a vlog coming out, a travel vlog, over the next day or so. They'll have it all in there. But it was really good fun. It was quite grueling because what's up, Leon? You sort of set up to where we were about sort of 6 o'clock.
Well, you told me to get to Itchen at 8 o'clock. You sent me a text saying you'd be 5 minutes, and you arrived about 10 to 9.
Honestly, if anyone doesn't know me, my propensity to turn up late is quite well known. So apologies for that.
We went 300 yards, and you had to use the facilities.
Yes, thanks for that, mate. Cheers for that. So we drove down to the Channel Tunnel, and I think. For me, the hours between sort of 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. were particularly onerous.
Yeah.
Driving around the Brussels Ring Road, absolutely shattered after a day and then driving all night. So we stopped at a random services, and basically it was a sort of field or a forest, opposite us. And you know, you wake up and you're not sure where you are. I'm like, where am I? I looked at, I was like, what am I doing in a forest? Like, what am I? What country am I in? I have no idea. And I look around, like Glenn's snoring and Toby's got his earphones in, doing whatever 19-year-olds do. And it was just like, oh my God, I've still got another like 300 miles to go. We got to Frankfurt sort of mid-afternoon, checked in the hotel and then just went out there. But what was your memory of that trip before we talk about the football?
Trying to think, actually.
I
wasn't drunk for all of it. Germany's always good. I said you did a couple of tweets and podcasts when we were out there, but just, you know, they just really know how to do football.
Yeah, yeah.
The beer's great. Bratwurst, which you sample a lot of.
I think nice. I had 5 bratwurst the day of the game.
The weather was great.
And a double burger, but
the weather was great. It's just, I like it when you get there the day before. We went to an Irish pub. It was a beautiful pub with lots of rooms and stuff. So, you know, you gently start off the evening as the fans are starting to arrive. So we did actually watch, was it Olympiakos that came back from
Spurs? Yeah, Spurs were turning up.
So that got us off to a good start. And then, you know, a few beers, friends.
But yeah, I've got to say, I mean, thank you to everyone who came up to us and gave us some kind words and basically said, you know, keep doing what you're doing. I really, really appreciate it. We all do. It's really heartening to see. But I've got to say, some lad come up to me, like, you know, he's a really lovely guy, and he goes, oh, are you going to Fanzine TV? I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, I love your podcast. I was like, oh, cheers. He goes, yeah, they help me sleep. I was like, what do you mean they help you sleep? What's that? He goes, no, I mean it in a nice way. And I was like, well, how's that a nice way, you know? But I do appreciate all the feedback, so thank you very much.
Probably nodded off now.
Yeah, exactly. just over my mouth, you fell asleep. That's effective on people normally. But yeah, I've got to say one more thing. Escape to victory. We Arsenal fans got kept in afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Grumpy Glenn and a couple of other friends managed an escape to victory excursion and got out an hour early.
We were just getting penned in and... sort of like an officious person that with us said, come on, we've got to go over there. And I looked around and I just saw the potential of a couple of people hanging around a gate that obviously knew the security guards or whatever. Anyway, said to me, mate, let's follow them. So we got straight out, got down to a taxi rank. It was a bit of bedlam. They weren't abiding the queues like us.
There's
a couple of little skirmishes when people were cab hopping and that. And I said to a guy, are you going into town? He went, yeah. And he was from Germany. He's from Frankfurt, in fact. But he was an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
But he actually mentioned that his favourite journalist was Amy Lawrence.
Ah, who may be on the Fanzine TV podcast. Absolutely. So.
And then, yeah, we were back in. So people were getting texts saying, they're texting me saying, you know, where are you? We're hanging around the gate. We've still not got out. I'll text them that's back in that Irish pub.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it took us ages to get back. But it was a good night. A good night was had by all. The drive the next day wasn't particularly fun. I think it was a 16-hour drive.
Particularly
grueling. Yeah, I must admit, I was knackered by the time I got back. But,
what was the CD playlist you went for?
What did we go for? Good question. We did Oasis, the Stone Roses, obviously.
Stone Roses album twice.
I think I was singing along to it. Keep awake at one
definitely
time.
Maybe twice. Public Enemy 3 times. Cranked up every time I was about to doze.
I think your ears were bleeding by that stage. But I needed loud music, basically. What else do we have?
NWA.
Lots of Springsteen.
A bit of Bruce. Yeah, happy birthday to the boss today. 70th birthday today. Absolute legend. NWA. What else do we have? There was other bits and pieces as well. But
no German music?
We forgot to take Kraftwerk Autobahn. Seriously, driving an Autobahn is just an experience in itself. If you've never done it, do it. It's just like a racetrack, basically. I'm probably doing about 110. In Germany, if there's any police officers listening, not over here. and this car just went zoom. And it must have been doing about... It wasn't even a Tesla. It was like... He was doing about 150 miles an hour. Glenn's like face got G-force on it. The car was going so fast. But yeah, it was a really, really good trip. Really enjoyed it. And I'd say thank you to everyone who gave us really, really nice positive feedback on everything we're doing at the moment. We'll stop blabbering about our trip now. Frankfurt 3-0. Good result, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, it was a good game to watch, seeing as we grew into it properly, I think. It wasn't that we were scared of them. It was just we kind of navigated our way through the game and climaxed at the right point with Saka getting his goal and finishing them off well. So yeah. I thought it was a good good watch.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I didn't see the 3-0 coming. I don't know what you thought, Glenn, but...
No, I mean, again, we were sort of left ourselves open to a lot of shots.
Yeah, they had a lot of chances, didn't they? Yeah,
A lot of chances. I was getting a couple of texts. I keep going on about texts and all, but...
He hasn't got a smartphone. Anyone who doesn't know, Glenn is still in the 19th century. But, I don't know the phone in the 19th century, but he hasn't got a smartphone, basically, and he's not on social media, so you can't abuse him. So
I was getting texts saying, we'll have to do it for you. It's an absolute cracker of a game, end-to-end stuff. And the atmosphere was out as well.
It was, wasn't it? It was brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
That stadium was going to take off.
Yeah.
I think Toby said, was it 47,000, 49,000? But he said it sounded like 80. Something like that.
Yeah.
And exactly that. He was perfect about that description. It was very good.
Yeah.
And they allow you to take your beer into the ground.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah. And currywurst as well. All five of them. Yeah. It
was a very good day. Performance-wise, I mean, I thought, like I said, I thought Chambers had a decent game. Put a lovely ball in for Bamiyang.
Yeah.
Sort of, I mean, didn't quite get. And then obviously, you were there in the crowd, like. When Saka put that shot in.
Yeah, it was glorious, wasn't it?
Absolute sublime.
Yeah, we went mental, didn't we? It was
fantastic. Yeah, and then long into the night and then drove through.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah. Serge, where did you watch? Were you working in the very excellent Galatia?
I was indeed. Yeah, it was a very good atmosphere.
Great place.
To be fair, the Europa League seems to be a competition where Emery seems to have a bit more confidence in his team selection, because we looked like we were playing a completely different side to what we played the following games. I think, you know, I was pleased with the performance. It was good. Saka obviously showed himself to be very well. Chambers coming back after the three games not playing was impressive. I think, you know, the defence was still obviously troubling. They still got through quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I think overall, it's a good start to the campaign.
And an error-free game for Mustafi, isn't it?
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Although you mentioned Mustafi, if you look at the statistics last season, him and Monreal were statistically our best defenders.
Really?
Wow. So
that's what you need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, so far, he's played every game he's played, we haven't conceded yet. So.
he's worth 35 million, isn't he?
Yeah. So, hey, yeah. Bargain.
Yeah, bargain. Just a point on Galatia. It's a great bar. If you're in London or anywhere, just come down. It's absolutely fantastic. Loads of memorabilia on the wall. It's a real sporting pub. Genuine fans here. I mean, you get a lot of sort of different fans. Well, obviously, there's a lot of Arsenal fans that come in here, but there's a lot of fans of a lot of teams.
Yeah, we get a lot of people. We've got the Parma Supporters Club coming in. We've got the Real Betis Supporters Club coming in. We had the Milan derby on the weekend.
Oh, what was that like? I went to that game in 2000 in San Siro. It's pretty tasty.
I did it in 2010 in San Siro.
Okay,
unbelievable game.
Yeah. Was it replicated here in
very much so, with a lot of very loud Italian gesticulation and shouting. it was something to behold. It was honestly impressive.
Were they all sober as well, with a megaphone, like shouting each other off the
just about. But you know, it's great to watch other teams how they play in their European sort of league. You know, Lukaku playing over there now looks a much better player.
Yeah.
And obviously we got Ramsey over in the Serie A as well, got his first goal.
Yeah. He did a tweet on that, didn't he? Well done to him, basically, yeah.
So hopefully we can sort of replicate that level of quality in the following weeks for the Arsenal.
Oh, let's hope so. We'll talk about what Euro ways we're going to do. Portugal, Kuna Fanzine TV is going to be in Portugal. Serge will hopefully be there. Not sure about Grumpy Glenn. He's busy, so we might not be able to.
I am sorry. That'd be one of the ones I've missed when you asked me if I went to it.
Frankie, what was your take on the 3-0? We didn't see it coming, did we?
No, I think it was good. It's good to see that Emery's not thinking two games ahead, and because I honestly thought when I saw the lineup, it meant Nelson was going to come in and play on Sunday.
Okay,
but Saka made his decision for him, and it shows that there is a route to the first team. Martinez was good, I thought.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah.
I think he's someone that carries on like that. You know, I've been a big fan of Bernardo, but there is a genuine challenge there.
You're right about Martinez.
But yeah, I was shocked. I honestly had it down as a loss, as much as quite negative. Frankfurt were really impressive last year in the Europa League.
Yeah.
They played Chelsea off the park at Stamford Bridge.
Absolutely, the semi-final,
Really concerned. But we held on and we were good. I think that's probably our best performance of the season.
Yeah, you make a really excellent point about Martinez. He did really well. His handling was really good and his distribution as well. He just looked solid, didn't he?
A lot of people were making that comment saying that. So it was really refreshing to see sort of like quick rollouts and quick throws, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people mentioned the distribution.
Yeah.
He was at Reading. Was it Reading last season?
Yeah,
and he
did
well. He was brilliant there. Yeah, I think he kept them up. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
he's a good backup at least.
Yeah, I mean, what was he, 25, 26?
26,
yeah. He's young, isn't he? So he's a good age in terms of goalkeeper. I know he's not played that many games for Arsenal, but he's had a bit of experience at Reading and various other places as well. And he's got to put the pressure on Leno. And he seems to be doing that, doesn't he? Which is fantastic for Arsenal Football Club, really, isn't it? So, yeah.
Joe Willock again was great.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah.
Especially when he came on as well yesterday. Like, he's starting to... He probably is in our first choice team, which I did not expect to say in August.
I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I thought he was like our best midfielder in the first couple of weeks of the season as well, and I didn't really expect him to get dropped for the Tottenham game. So that was kind of surprising for me, but he's probably the midfielder that's encouraged me the most this early in the season.
Yeah.
Just going off that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was great, the tweet you put out the other day, wasn't it? Just in terms of his new contract and stuff.
Just
being a youngster and coming through the ranks and stuff. That was really heartening to see. I really enjoyed that as well.
Yeah.
Like you say, he's obviously a really, really good prospect. And he's starting to flourish, isn't he? So,
yeah.
Excellent. Just in terms of, the next game now. So where are Arsenal in the group? Are we home and dry already, do you think? Or have we got potential struggles ahead of us?
I wouldn't say... Well, we shouldn't have struggles.
Yeah.
But you never know.
That was the toughest game. We got that.
A lot of us expected to lose. And they expected to beat us as well.
Yeah.
I can't see us losing to those sort of teams at home.
Yeah.
I think the Liège away game will be another dead rubber.
Yeah.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah, it's sort of before Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah,
we'll certainly make the most of Liège if that's the case. But I just meant to say there's four beers here. They're basically the only things I brought back from Frankfurt, apart from Bild newspaper, who were particularly singing Saka's praises. yeah, you and Toby. Thankfully, we did actually make. We missed our cross channel ferry. We went on the cross channel ferry for the first time in about 20 years. It was fun, wasn't it? Fun's the right word.
You booked it for...
No. We made it home about 3 a.m. I was so tired, basically. But I think you had to go to a wedding the next day, didn't you?
When I got up and went to... Yeah, I had to get back in the car and then drive out to the Cotswolds for a wedding.
I hear there was a wedding the day before and there was a famous sports presenter who was...
There was a wedding at the same place the day before and a huge wedding party staying in the Premier Inn that I stayed in. I think it was the daughter of a sort of quite a notable sports broadcaster.
Yeah.
But they had a wedding party of about 100 guests in the Premier Inn on the Saturday night.
Yeah.
On the Friday. So we stayed on the Saturday. And because there'd been so many people there, when I went down for my breakfast on Sunday, they'd run out of sausages.
So what we're saying is this famous sports presenter is basically eating all the sausages.
Thankfully, I'd stocked up with enough sausages in Frankfurt.
Yeah, 5 currywursts and there to go. Excellent. Okay, right, that's Frankfurt done and dusted. Arsenal women have been busy this week, haven't they?
Yeah, 5-0 win yesterday, so obviously a lot less stressful than the men's team. They were playing against London City Lionesses.
So that was a cup game, that was a league cup game?
Continental Cup.
Yeah, Which Arsenal the holders?
No, sorry, City.
We lost to City, didn't we? Bramall Lane, so we haven't lost to...
But we won the year before.
That's the year before we beat City then, that year, didn't we?
Yeah. So I guess a bit of a rivalry coming in there, possibly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good game. It wasn't easy, I guess, because the Lionesses kind of did put pressure on the ball when Arsenal did have it, which you'd want, especially with Jordan Nobbs coming back into the team and Leah Warty as well, trying to get back sharp in terms of the demands of a game. But yeah, it was a good game. They dominated it for the most part and came out worthy winners.
Yeah, I mean, such as Jordan Nobbs, I interviewed her last season, and she's incredible. She talked such a good game. Dad was a professional footballer with the Hartlepool, wasn't he? I think it was David Nobbs, and she just steeped in football, basically. And she's doing well again, isn't she? She had a massive injury. She's coming back. How was her performance yesterday?
She was good. She lasted the whole game, so that was another encouraging thing to see. I spoke to her after the game, actually.
I heard you've got... Art's been a bit modest, actually. He got an exclusive, so...
Yeah.
And a world exclusive at that, so... how was she, without giving too much away, if there's anything embargoed?
I don't think anything was embargoed, but... She was good, willing to talk, and obviously her and Rob Holden were kind of doing rehab at the same time, so I asked her about that, and she said that he was like a ray of sunshine.
Rob Holding, ray of sunshine. I love that image. She'd be like soft focus. I've actually interviewed Rob. Yeah. He's a lovely guy. I think he is a positive guy.
Yeah, because that was quite a good line from her, I guess.
Was that your headline?
It's going to be.
Yeah. And where's that going to be out?
That's
blown, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I was thinking there's embargo. There's no embargo. It's fine.
Well, it'll probably be out by the time the podcast is out.
Okay, so, good answer.
Yeah.
So watch this space is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, watch this space. Yeah.
Absolutely. Who else impressed you on this?
Yesterday, Beth Mead played really well. She started the season incredibly. She scored a hat-trick yesterday, and that's kind of off the back of a goal and an assist in the first league game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, the West Ham game. I took my youngest to that, my girlfriend. And, I also went 2-1. It was a bit. Yeah. It wasn't the most convincing performance, but they got the result.
Yeah, that's.
Where have you heard that before?
Yeah, but I mean, that's all that matters at that stage of the season, anyway.
Yeah.
And Beth Mead scored for England as well a week before that or something. So she's finding great form, which is a good thing to see as well, seeing as Vivian Miedema still getting blooded back into the team
because of a busy summer.
She's stepping up, and that's good.
Absolutely. And there's a big game on Thursday this week, isn't there? A big game in terms of Champions League. Barcelona obviously 4-0 up from the first leg against Fiorentina. You'll be covering it as ever, won't you?
I'll be there, 4-0 up going into the second leg. You kind of
can't think that way. Not even Arsenal can do that.
Yeah, so should be a good game to see what kind, how Joe Montemurro, the coach, kind of approaches it. But I'm sure he'd go out to win it again.
Yeah.
Like before the first leg, he did say he wanted to win both legs.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he'd go and try and win again.
Excellent. If anyone doesn't know Art, he covers the under-23s as well. I've done it in the past. It's quite a difficult job because you're sort of tracking these youngsters you don't know too much about. But it's very satisfying as well in watching their progress too. But there's two big names potentially coming back. Arsenal got Liverpool on Saturday at Bournemouth, haven't they?
Yeah.
So we're talking Tierney and Bellerin potentially because there was the game at Wolves, wasn't there?
Bellerin, I think Bellerin played the whole game and then Tierney played about an hour.
And how did they play?
They were alright. I mean, Bellerin looked a bit rusty in some parts in terms of just his passing, but that's normal. And Tierney looked promising. He wasn't scared to dribble past plays. He wasn't scared to go forward, and then he was quite composed in terms of if a ball's coming over. He didn't panic and just kind of choose the wrong option. He took his time and was able to pick out the right pass. So
composed Arsenal defender. I love the sound.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Believe what I see.
They both looked all right, and the under-23s have started the season quite well.
Absolutely. I mean, I know you'll be doing the game on Saturday, won't you? I might even just go on as a punter, really. But Arsenal Liverpool, it's 1 o'clock at Bournemouth on Saturday, isn't it? Arsenal under 23s. Steve Bowles, Arsenal under 23s. Excellent. Okay. We're going to look forward to Man United now. Man United on Monday night, Monday 30th September. Always a huge game. But does it mean as much as it used to? It doesn't anymore, does it really, Arsenal Man United? What do you reckon, Glenn? You've been going for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the levels of animosity are no longer there.
Yeah.
And obviously the managers are different.
I would say crack into the beers, I've finished my beer. There's three there, so no, you have to find a chance for it.
For me, it's still frustrating, though, because there's been a lot of times we should have gone up there and won recently when they've been really there for the taking, and we still can't do it. And there's something in the Arsenal psyche where we just seem to crumble at Old Trafford.
So if we play as badly as we did in the first half at Old Trafford, how do you think we'll get on?
Well, United have this annoying habit, even when they're sort of, in poor form or at a low ebb or going through a bit of turmoil, they just seem to sort of drag it out against us.
Yeah.
Find something in there. So I possibly... The other thing we do is when there's a team on their knees and they need a nice little bounce, we go and give it to them. Yeah, so, watch this space. Yeah. Man, you would probably beat us at Old Trafford.
Did you do the 8-2? I didn't do the 8-2.
No, but, I didn't do the 8-2. No, yeah.
I've been one of the 6-1 in 2001, and that was particularly dreadful.
I've been up to so many league games there, I couldn't go to the one where Addie Byles scored.
In 2006, no, I didn't do that.
And I'm pretty sure we haven't won up there since.
No. Yeah.
And I've been to all of them. And I keep saying every year I'm not going back. So this year I'm not going back, basically because it's a Monday night and work commitments. And But I wouldn't be surprised if we came away with nothing from there. Yeah, even though they look a shambles.
Yeah. I mean, my first game at Old Trafford was 88-89. And it was about April 89, early April. And Tony Adams scored with his head about a yard off the ground. With boots flying right in front of the away end. Remember the away end?
Yeah.
It was all those pens. Mm-hmm. There was about 6,000 arse on there. It was absolutely amazing when he scored. One all the United fans sort of seeing Donkey and all this. That point, but if he hadn't scored that goal, we wouldn't have won the league, basically. Mm-hmm. So they got some happy memories. But I remember going the year after, and Michael Knighton, do you remember him, the old chairman? And he was... I remember being in the away end and just going, who's this bloke? He had a United tracksuit on him, right? And he's dribbling the ball, but he wasn't particularly... good. Well, why would you be?
Juggle it on the pitch.
Yeah, and he just shot the ball into the goal in the Stretford end. And you're like, what's this going? What's going on here? And then obviously the papers the next day and all the rest of it are sort of saying, yeah, United's chairman. But yeah, that was a bit random. But anyway, going back to Monday night, Serge, what do you reckon?
I'm massively confident.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
Because, well, if you look at United's squad, Rashford's injured, Martial's injured, Greenwood's injured, Lingard's up top. He's in a dreadful run of form. They're still a lot of issues with their midfield possession and moving forward. So I think our defence actually can handle them.
Really? Do you reckon? Oh, you just put the mockers on there.
No.
Not that we've ever had a chance anyway.
Confidence, mate. I honestly think, because our attack force and Aubameyang and Pepe are strong enough to get through and put a lot of stress onto their defence. I mean, their defence isn't exactly world-beating anymore, is it?
No,
I mean, we know that pain very well. So
yeah.
I'm not overly confident, but I'm pretty confident.
Okay. Give us your scoreline.
3-1.
To Arsenal? At Old Trafford?
If we do that, that could be farewell to Wally. He'll be handing the wheel over to somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I covered the game last season 2-0, and it was right at the end of the Mourinho era, and there was just not much going on about Man United. And they're obviously a huge club, and they've got great history, should have great players, and it just felt like they were coming to... the end of an era in Mourinho. And I don't know, probably show my age, but there used to be an advert about Ready Brick. It's like the breakfast cereal for youngsters, if you didn't know. And the advert was you had this sort of orange glow around you if you had your Ready Brick, so you can't face the day, you're not going to be cold and the rest of it. And I always say managers who had charisma had that Ready Brick glow. So obviously for me, in terms of being in a lot of press conferences, Jurgen Klopp's got it, Pep Guardiola's got it in spades. Mourinho had it, but it was almost like he was like a bad cop. He would walk in and you would be drawn towards him in terms of his charisma. You know, I asked him a couple of questions over the years, and you know, for the tour, I think I asked him a couple of questions too that night. But Mourinho, he'd lost all his spark by then. Mm-hmm. And are we saying that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is he's on his way out now?
Well, I mean, Mourinho himself said the team's worse than when he had it.
Yeah, which says a lot, really, doesn't it?
I mean, I think he's right. I think. Yeah.
Using the Sky platform to big
him. Yeah. I think, you know, they were very, very positive for Ollie after
that's him on the phone there.
They're very positive for Ollie after the PSG game. But then since then it's been absolutely dreadful.
Well, yeah. It's been since we beat them at the Emirates.
Yeah. That 2-0 in March, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But what do you reckon, Frankie?
Well, I think they're two managers that need a win. But I wouldn't be surprised if we won 3-1. Wouldn't be surprised if we lost 3-1.
Yeah, fair point.
But the thing is, West Ham yesterday didn't even have to play well to beat them.
Yeah.
You know, Man United going to the London Stadium now. Mm. You'd think at least West Ham would have to raise their game, but they didn't. They were pretty average, but they had way too much from Man United.
Yeah.
So if we can, you know, string a decent performance, we should win. But I'm sure they're looking at it the same. They're probably saying, well, we're not very good, but Arsenal aren't very good. As much as that sounds like I'm sitting on the fence. if we can kind of sit in a little bit, and this is one of the games where you should kind of sit in, I think. Yeah. Sit in, catch on the break.
Yeah.
The pressure's on them to win more than us, I think. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's under pressure. Unai Emery's under pressure.
Yeah.
I hope we win. I think we will. If I had to say, I think we'll sneak it. I think it'll be a really
wow
something to build around.
Yeah, and it would be, wouldn't it? You're absolutely right. Arsenal could really kick on, hopefully. But I hope so. I hope you guys are right. What did you reckon, Art? What was your take on it? Do you want to make it more?
Yeah,
at Old Trafford.
I think there's no reason why we should be scared going there. Like Rashford, who isn't a great striker at the moment, anyway, isn't going to be playing, and they've kind of been resting all their hopes on him. So, what's the point in being scared? I don't see any point in being scared of that team going there. But
have you watched Arsenal?
I remember we was saying this a few years ago when we went up there saying we've got nothing to be scared about. They're a really low ebb and stuff. And I think Rashford made his debut.
The 3-2, I was impressed by that, mate. Yeah, we should have won that.
We were just pitiful.
Yeah, we were pitiful.
It was about February.
Yeah.
We are very bad when players have debuts.
Yeah.
We always concede.
Yeah, he was literally about 17, 18, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He scored against the Europa League on Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I quite like Rashford. I think he's a really good player. I think he really struggled on Mourinho because Mourinho, for whatever reason, didn't use him properly. And I really rate him. And yeah, I'm a bit worried about him, really. But at the same time, he's not anywhere near where he was, I don't think.
He's not been in the best form.
No.
But,
no.
I mean, yeah, I think we can beat them. I know that's probably a jinx. But Aubameyang, a goal or two.
A two, yeah, bring up to his half century for Arsenal. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Two goals for Aubameyang at Old Trafford, that'd be great. Yeah. But, fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, guys. Really, really appreciate it. For anyone who's watching, Rosie will be back in a couple of weeks. She's actually going to Old Trafford. She's going to do a bit of a video vlog for us. So, hello, Rosie.
Enjoy that, Rosie.
Yeah. Toby is going to do our video vlog from Frankfurt. Toby's a really, really busy guy at the moment. So, thanks very much. He looks very professional behind the camera today, as he always does. Thanks to Frankie for coming in. Really appreciate your time, mate. Really, really good to have you on. Serge, your beard is wonderful. Thank you very much for coming on too.
I'll give you tips.
I think I need it. You've got it on the top of my head as well.
I'm not a magician. I'm not a magician.
You're looking with that baseball bat. Glenn, thanks as ever. Really appreciate your time, mate. And Art, we'll see you at Boreham Wood over the next few days.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for watching. Subscribe, like, comment, YouTube. And thanks for your time, everybody. Cheers.